And welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward, not alongside Jeremy Fowle, which is weird because I thought he'd normally be puffing out his chest right now, celebrating Michigan's biggest win in program history, Jim Harbaugh's biggest win as a Michigan coach, which is Purdue over Michigan State. I mean, look, that's the way you're acting right now. That's the way I'm going to treat you guys. No kid gloves on this show. But Anthony Iani is with us today, and you're going to be like, well, Tyler, it's still football season. Yeah, well, basketball season's right around the corner, and so we got the pro on for that. Anthony, how you doing today, brother?
Tyler, always good to be on the show, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and obviously we love having you, as you can tell by the amount of times we beg you to come on. So, boy. But, you know what, we're going to talk about a little bit of football first. And look, we already know what happened on Saturday. Michigan got a boatload of injuries to some key pieces, including Andrel Anthony and Blake Corum. Michigan State suffered their own set of injuries slash absences, and Jarrett Horst, obviously, Jalen Naylor was going to be out, and then Matt Coughlin, which that was a bigger one than anticipated when you look at, hey, Michigan State missed a field goal on their second drive. So both teams kind of hit up with this injury bug, which both of them just coming off of bye weeks too, not too long ago. So that's not a good thing. But the table's still set for both of them. Like, if Michigan State runs the table, they're still going to Indianapolis. If Michigan runs the table, they would need a little bit of help from Ohio State over Michigan State, which if you saw that Ole secondary on Saturday, that looks like C.J. Stroud's going to throw for about 750 yards and 9 touchdowns. But both teams have the same schedule, more or less. Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State. Talk to me about this, like, having both teams with similar schedules, both teams still more or less playing for it. Like, how much better could this be after last season's, let's say, debacle?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we've had the conversation before, you and me, Tyler, and like we've had other conversations with people too. Like, if you would have told me before the beginning of the season that, hey, Michigan State's going to be 8-1 on, you know, after the Purdue game and still have a shot to potentially win not only possibly the Big Ten East and get to Indianapolis, but still have a potential shot to get in the college football playoff, I would have said you're crazy. I would have said you're on drugs or something. But you know, the fact that both of these teams are in this position, you know, it's amazing to me. And I guess that's definitely kudos to both coaching staff. But, you know, now there's some adversity to both of these sides. I mean, now you have Blake Corum. Like, you know, who knows when Corum's going to come back, because that's a foot injury. Like, we don't know if it's just a sprained ankle. We don't know if he, like, you know.
Oh, Beasley's not even 100%.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of guys on both sides who are not 100% right now. So, you know, but I think, you know, for Michigan State, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, as far as like as far as the secondary goes. Because, I mean, you know, you give up over 500 plus yards passing to the second string quarterback who didn't even start at the beginning of the season for Purdue. I mean, and everybody knew where the ball was going Saturday. It was going to David Bell. Like, we all know like where that ball was going. And so, you know, I don't know. And I think the biggest disappointment to me, Tyler, the last 2 weeks has been the lack of pressure on the quarterback that Michigan State has not gotten. Whereas the first seven games of the season before the bye week, they had like 26 or 27 sacks as a unit, and they've only had 3 the last 2 games. And so, you know, that's like half, that's a sack and a half in 2 games. And so, you know, and obviously, like Mel Tucker said today, like, you know, there's going to be some changes because they can't be doing what they're doing and expect to win. And so I'm looking forward to see, you know, how they respond against Maryland, how the defense responds. Because, again, Maryland's not going to come into East Lansing Saturday and just, you know, roll over and die for Michigan State. Like, you know, they're
Baby Tua's going to sling it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are a pass-happy team. They're not going to run the ball. And I think that's – and that's the thing, you know, with Michigan State's opponents going forward. Like, they are very good teams that can pass the ball. You know, Maryland, Ohio State, and Penn State. You know, Sean Clifford's starting to get back to his old form. And so – it's not going to be an easy 3 weeks for Mel Tucker and company, but I'm not going to sit here and write them off because they have the potential to, you know, set things right on Saturday, beat Maryland, and then you have the opportunity of a lifetime to go into Columbus and do something that hasn't been done in a long time, and that's to beat Ryan Day in Ohio State and that Big Ten conference winning streak that they've been on.
Yeah, it's so weird because you sit there and one of the liked about Michigan State's defense, other than the pressure that they were able to get for a while, that you talked about, is the ability to, or not the ability, but they didn't give up big plays.
Yep.
And on Saturday, you gave up biggest play. You gave up monster plays to the second best player on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he was the best player on that Saturday, but I mean, let's be real, he's not in Heisman talk. So the fact that you left him open, you knew what was coming. And I sent you this text message, man, and I still can't wrap my head around this. Michigan State has two SEC cornerbacks starting. Two SEC corners. I don't know if you know anything about the defensive backfields down in the South. If you don't, you should learn. Those guys are good. And Ronald Williams, he's been okay lately because I'm not seeing his number when Purdue was slinging it all over the yard. I didn't see it a lot when McNamara was slinging it on Michigan State either. So I feel like he's starting to come along, but Kimbrough, man, it's not been good since his interception against Nebraska.
Well, it could also be a scheme thing too, Tyler. And, you know, there's a reason why. And, you know, I was telling people this on Saturday, and this is not a shot at Ronald Williams or anything like that. But there's a reason why Nick Saban didn't start him anymore at Alabama. There's a reason why, you know, when Ronald Williams entered the portal, Nick Saban wasn't, you know, crying about it. You know, because obviously Alabama's loaded. Like, they have talent at every position at the second and third and fourth spots on their roster because they have four or five-star guys all over the map when it comes to their depth chart. But, you know, I don't think Williams has been bad at Michigan State. You know, I think he had a shaky first game against Northwestern. I thought he's been getting better and better. And, you know,
that's – I don't think people understand how good he's been getting.
Exactly. Now, Chester Kimbrough has surprised me a lot. Like, he has – you know, ever since the Nebraska game and just kind of how far he's dipped a little bit, it's kind of surprised me quite a bit. And the fact that you had Andrell Anthony, you know, basically just own him during that entire Michigan State-Michigan game 2 weeks ago, you know, that was very alarming to me. Now, again, maybe he's better in press coverage than he is in the whole zone defense, because there have been times where both those guys where I've seen where they've been in press coverage – and they've done a pretty good job. And so, you know, maybe that's something Mel Tucker and his staff look at and go, you know what? We're probably better off in press coverage, and we're probably better off rushing four or five people to get to the quarterback. Because if our corners are able to do press coverage and not give up a whole lot, then maybe that's what we need to do going forward. Because if you want to win games, you got to rattle the quarterback. You know, that was the biggest reason why Michigan probably, you know, I don't want to say should have won the game, but one of the reasons why they probably would have beaten Michigan State if not for Kenneth Walker, is that Kay McNamara wasn't shook. You know, you got to make sure that those quarterbacks get a little shaken up a little bit. You want to make sure that when you rush them, like they're a little scared that they're gonna hit you. So, I mean, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what changes Mel Tucker makes to the defense this week. And you know, and he said it best today, which I think is kind of the first time that I heard him say it. He's not a big component of the bend but don't break defense mentality. And it's like, well, okay, you've been saying that, you know, bend don't break defense. You know, that's what we're about. That's our motto. But like, you know, now you're saying it doesn't work. So I'm interested to see, you know, what they decide to do and how they're going to change it up for Saturday.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, you cannot be a proponent of something, but you still may have to run it.
Right.
And just based upon your personnel. And that was something that, you know, when we had Cliff Ryan on the show, that was one of the things that he was talking about is maybe he just doesn't have the personnel to do it, because you look at him, he's a Saban disciple. That boy is man. He loves man coverage. It's not zone. And so I'm really curious how, you know, he's going to advance, not necessarily just this year, because, I mean, look, your personnel is your personnel. You're going to have them all year. And maybe Brantley got a little bit of a wake-up call. You know, he was the big hero in the Michigan game with that interception, which was a great read. You know, didn't bait the quarterback, but was technically like he was supposed to get the underneath guy, saw the McNamara's eyes, and then just bailed on it. Right. And then you see him against Purdue, and he's cheating, and he's, you know, falling asleep. He's watching the backfield too much, and I think that this is going to serve as a wake-up call. Here's the thing, is he's a freshman. He's going to be good.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's not good yet, although he's made some really nice plays. But you can see the potential in him. I mean, look, when you talk about this, and I know we're spending time on Michigan State, but this is what happens when Jeremy no-shows. when you talk about this, like, I'm disappointed in Henderson. Like, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's fantastic coming up, stuff in the run. He can lay the wood. He makes big plays in the defensive backfield occasionally. But I think he needs to go to, like, a sixth grade geometry class for a second, because his angles have been terrible over the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't – ever since the bye week, he hasn't been the same player that we've seen the first seven games. Now, granted, Tyler, he's also had to, like, cover for some of our linebackers, too, who can't cover tight ends right now. And so
How come every time his man catches the ball, Travaris Crouch looks like he glitches like a video game or something like that? He just, like, stops for half a second, and then he's like, oh, crap.
I think, again, it goes back to scheme. I think it really does, because if you think about it, Tyler, like, he wasn't there during spring ball. Yeah. He wasn't on campus until, I think, maybe in June or July, you know, when summer classes started up and when everybody else was showing up. So, but, you know, we also tend to forget, too, that Crouch is still – he's only a redshirt sophomore. I mean, he's still a young player. And so, you know, a full year into this system, like, imagine what he's going to be like next year. And, you know, next year, does Michigan State – do they stick with the 4-2-5 defense? Do they shake it up a little bit and go back to the old school 4-3-4? Like, I don't know. And so – and again, like, you know, Crouch, he played in a different system at Tennessee than he is now. So, you know, So he's still learning on the fly. And the other thing is, too, and I think we as fans, and I'm putting myself in the same category too, Tyler, is that we tend to forget that a lot of these guys in the secondary, they were transfer portal guys. I mean, they're not Mel Tucker recruits. They're guys from the transfer portal that Mel got out of the portal. And so, you know, that's why I'm excited to see. You know, Chuck Brantley right now, he's a Mel Tucker kid. I mean, he's going to end up having a great career. And then you got other corners. You got Tatum out of West Bloomfield coming in. You got another kid out of Georgia coming in. And so, you know, there's a lot of reason to be excited about what the secondary is going to look like in 2 to 3 years. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, the guys that are there now, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to scheme and not learning it quick enough in a month. You know, it could be difficult on some guys.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, it's just going to be interesting to see how it develops. Is it going to change with the players? Is it going to – with the players that come in, is it going to – I mean, look, let's be real. It's not going to change next year either. It's going to be these same guys starting. Though maybe you can bump Brantley for Kimbrough, or bump Kimbrough for Brantley, rather. And so we'll see how that plays out. So I'm doing something right now. I am heading to basketball tryouts. I'm absolutely stoked. But since it's high school basketball tryout, that means is Michigan State's getting ready to play some basketball too. And that is tomorrow against Kansas. And look, it's the Champions Classic. And Jeremy said something the other day, and I know we're going to laugh at it, but it is what it is. He said that the Champions Classic needs to change up the field a little bit. And here's the thing, is the Champions Classic is not a preseason tournament. It's a contract that is signed by those four schools to, you know, just play each other every year.
Right.
And it's not one of these, like, preseason tournaments and stuff like that. So you can't change the field because it's your field. Ultimately, it's not like a Maui invite presented by whoever it's presented by this year. But talk to me about opening up with this, with a game of this caliber every year. Cause obviously, you know, it's not Kansas every year. It's Kentucky one year, it's Duke the next. And just talk to me about opening up with those types of games for a team that you really don't have any, I don't want to say leadership, but you don't really have those types of big time players who can step up and play that level of competition right away that we know of.
Well, I mean, as we all know, it's what Tom Izzo wants to do, because it's his way of telling his freshmen and younger players, hey, welcome to the big time. We're going to throw you in the fire right off the bat. And a lot of recruits want that. You know, they want that attention. They want to be on the big spotlight. And that's what the Champions Classic is all about, because if you look at the four programs that are in it, you know, the four programs that are in it have been one of the most historic and dominant programs within the last, you know, 25 to 30 years. And, you know, and I love Jeremy. I really do. But let's be honest, like, nobody wants to see Michigan versus Duke. Nobody wants to see Michigan versus Kentucky. Nobody wants to see Villanova versus Kentucky or North Carolina versus Kansas. Like, you know, there's a reason why that this was put together. There's a
These reason are the why consistent schools, although Kentucky does have a tendency to fall off occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. But like, if you go back to, like, if you go back to the Adolph Rupp days, if you go back to, when Pitino was there and when Tubby Smith was there, like, it's a very historical program, even though they fell off the grid for a couple of years. But, you know, it's the same could be said about Michigan State. You know, we fell off the grid for a little bit in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. Like, but, you know, we're still a very historic program. And so, you know, and like you said, this isn't a preseason tournament. It's not like, you know, it's not like the Legends Classic in New Jersey where you have four teams. No. And like, it's one of the greatest ways to kick off the college basketball season is seeing these four programs just get after each other. And so, you know, I'm interested to see what happens tomorrow. I know Kansas has a couple guys down. One of their best players is suspended for legal reasons. But, you know, this is going to be a good test for Michigan State. And, you know, I know Jeremy said earlier today during our conversation that, you know, it'll be telling if Michigan State gets blown out of the water. And my response was no, because, you know, you can lose by 20 and you could still end up going to the Final Four at the end of the year. So that's why I don't get caught up, Tyler, in like all the preseason hype or rankings or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, you know, my dad always said it best. It's not how it doesn't matter where you start in college basketball. It's how you finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't football. One loss doesn't kill you. And look, you said it. It's to get the freshmen acclimated and to get the newcomers acclimated. Well, guess what? Your point guard's a newcomer. Your shooting guard's a freshman who might be your best player from all accounts. You know, and then you have three guys who, look, they've got to make that next leap. And that's Bingham, and that's Brown, and that's, oh, God, please be Hall. that's what it is right now. And, you know, these guys need to, you know, take the next step. And so, ultimately, these are new roles that you're trying to figure out. You're trying to do this against Kansas. It's not easy. It might not be fun. I can tell you this. I'm recording it, but I think I'm going to keep my wife on standby. And just have her tell me, hey, you know, you're not going to want to watch this. because, like I said, I'm doing this whole tryout thing. So, Yeah, it's really interesting to see you open up with that. And you had to come out and you've called me and we've talked about this and you've calmed my nerves a little bit because I was freaking out about Michigan State scrimmage. And that was where AJ Hogard was a starter, and that's no disrespect to the kid. I can't wait to see him play. He lost 20 pounds, and I thought that was big. I think that's going to be huge for him, and I think that's going to be huge for Michigan State in general. You know, to see him push the ball up the floor the way that you can when you're a little bit lighter. And I think he already did not a right job of that, you know, last year, although obviously – you know, he's a freshman and he was making some mistakes that, look, is always not fond of. But you said Walker's going to be the starter. It looks like he is going to be the guy. What do you see in him? Because I've seen, based upon conversations I've had with Jeremy, we've seen two different players out of this. I've seen Cassius Winston in regards to his hands in the passing lane. Cassius Winston off the ball as a defender is probably one of the most underrated things that we've ever seen in college basketball. I'll say it. And his craftiness around the hoop. Jeremy kind of sees more of a Rocket Watts, just an explosive guy, very ball dominant type player. What do you get when you see him?
Definitely not Rocket Watts. That's for darn sure. you know, I see a guy who can distribute the ball and has great acceleration when he goes to the rim. And obviously, you know, that's something that Cassius Winston did all the time. Like, Cash could distribute the ball anywhere he goes. And he's really good in the pick and roll game, which I think is something that Joey Hauser is definitely going to benefit from. And I think not having a true point guard last year is one of the things that hurt Hauser a lot. So, you know, Walker can do different things with the ball and even off the ball, because, you know, teams will have to be worried about him because eventually – now, I know he didn't score a whole lot in exhibition games, but he is capable of going off as a shooter. And so, you know, so he's going to bring a lot to the table. And, you know, when Michigan State got him, I said, you know what, we got the right guy. I'm excited to see what happens. And so – but I think there's a lot of things he can do. But I think right now – distributing the ball and making sure that it needs to get where it needs to go. And if he sees an open lane, he's going to take it. And so I'm really excited to see how he's going to end up progressing, you know, not just throughout the season, but during his time at Michigan State.
Yeah. He averaged what, like 18-7, I want to say.
Yeah. Along the lines of that. Yeah.
Northeastern. So he's got the ability to fill it up, even though, you know, he wasn't doing it in, well, the Big Ten. Obviously, there's like a plethora of more things I want to talk to you about, especially Marcus Bingham, because A, you were a center, B, we were both talking the crap out of him last year. And then at the end of the year, he kind of shut us both up. You know, how do you manage the egos? Because, look, there's going to be about 9 guys playing, there's 11 guys who could be playing. This is a really deep Michigan State team. Not the most talented at the top Michigan State's ever had. Not close to that. But they've got 3 centers. They've got Marple, who is going to be good matchups in some games. They've got Sissoko, who's, you know, a big matchup in some games, even though Dosunmu's gone. then obviously, like I said, you have Bingham, who looked to be their best all around. Like, how do you manage those? How do you manage the egos?
I mean, obviously that's a captain thing, and you know, it's up to Gabe Brown and Malik Hall to make sure that those egos are checked at the door before they walk in the Breslin Center. And I think the other thing is too is, as long as guys are cool with each other, guys like each other, and you know, everybody in that team knows their role, I mean, you're gonna end up having a really pretty darn good year. And I think last year that was the problem with Michigan State, was that obviously number one was and this is not a knock on Josh Lankford or anything, but there wasn't any specific leadership you know, from somebody else to help Josh Langford. And I think that hurt him a lot. But the other thing is, too, is that you had guys on that team that didn't really know what their role was.
Or if it took Aaron Henry like 5.5 months.
Right, exactly. And if there was somebody who had a specific role and they didn't want to play that role and they threw a fit about it, then obviously it was going to go back and bite people in the butt, which is exactly what happened last year with a few guys. And so
I'm not naming names, but I know who you're talking about.
Right. So for us, you know, I mean Michigan State, if Michigan State is going to want to be successful, then guys have to understand their role and know their role. And, you know, and I think that's the one good thing about having guys like Matt McQuaid and Austin Thornton back within the program is that they're going to remind those guys, hey, this is why we were successful when we were here, and this is why we're going to be successful this year, because you guys need to, as The Rock would say, Dwayne Johnson, shout out to The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth. And so that's what guys got to do. Just know your role, hush up, and just play it.
Yeah, and Matt McQuaid, he kind of made his impact in this, you know, first game against Kansas. Was it 6 years ago?
And, yeah, it was.
Yeah, and he made a massive impact and, you know, hit a couple threes. And I remember he had a nice block on the baseline. This was where he started his career. And so you're talking about these roles, all right? And I said – I was of the people who said, we need Amone Bates. We need him. We need him. Not because he's this great all-around player. He's not a good defender. I knew that, and I said that as I was clamoring for him. But he's a guy you can put the ball in his hands, and you can just let him go to work. I know they were exhibition games. I know they were against Division III, Division II type opponents. Is Max Christie the guy who I've been clamoring for?
Absolutely. And just seeing how, you know, just watching him in that first scrimmage and how he was able to play at both ends of the floor. I mean, that's the type of player we were looking for. And, you know, I looked up Amone Bates' stats in his exhibition game. I mean, he only had like 10 or 12 points in the second exhibition game. He didn't play in the first one. I don't know why, but like.
What a flop. Sorry.
But, no, I definitely think that Max Christie is going to be the guy. And there's nothing wrong with that because we've seen freshmen in the last 4 or 5 years be the guys for their team. And so, so I really truly think that, you know, he's definitely that guy you've been clamoring for. And so, and he's only going to get better. He's only going to continue to keep getting better from here on out. And so I really think that us losing out on Amone Bates, you know, I think that's something that Spartan fans are going to look at and go, you know what? We really didn't need him. We were just fine without him.
See, now you got me too excited. I was trying to like taper a little bit, and I was just trying to keep a level head about all of this. But when I hear that, and I hear his high school coach say, "Oh, this is a 1 or 2 year college player, but I can see him staying for 4 years," that has me excited.
Oh yeah,
just because the type of kid that he is. You know, this according to his high school coach. I don't have insider info. He said it publicly in, you know, one of the media outlets. But yeah, that got me way too excited, even though I know it may be a couple of years until, you know, we see the full potential and we see the full potential of what it's like for him to carry a team. And so I'm definitely excited for that. My last question for you, sir, before I let you go, is, I mean, we just covered every position. We know what Gabe Brown's going to be, what we hope that he can be. We hope he's that guy who can, you know, score more than 18 points a game, you know, every seventh game or whatever it is that he's been doing. My last question for you, Hall or Hauser?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm taking Hauser. Honestly, Tyler, I just believe that now that we have a true point guard running the show, I just think that he's more comfortable in a pick and pop spot now. And, you know, I just feel like that wasn't there last year with Lawyer and Watson, whoever was running the point at the time. And so I think Joey Hauser is going to have a big year. I really truly believe in my heart that we're going to be seeing the Joey Hauser that was expected to be this big time, you know, big time stud coming in last year. So I'm taking Joey Hauser all day long.
Can he guard me yet?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He can guard you.
Okay, here's the thing. Just for the people who are going to take this too far. No, I knew that he could guard me or whatever. I'm just a shot defense from last year. Don't overreact. I don't want to see it in the comments. What, Tyler thinks he's good at basketball? No, I've always sucked at basketball. That's why I coach. I can't play. Don't go blowing up the comments about this. Anthony, it was great to have you on. I'm glad it's basketball season, so we can listen to the audible chocolate that is your voice so much more. we look forward to having you on a lot more, dude. We love that. If you have not already, Anthony, you know the plug. Go buy the book Centered. All right?
Available on Amazon and iupress.com.
Like I said, he knows the plug. We didn't even talk about this. He made it sound like we had a pre-show meeting with Jeremy. No, we were just, you know, running our mouths. But, hey, Anthony, thank you again for coming on. I am Tyler Hayward. We will be back Thursday previewing Michigan's game against Penn State and then Michigan State's game against Maryland. That does it for us here on the Trouble with the Snap podcast.